You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Diabetes is one of the leading causes of disability and death in the U.S. It's related to blindness, nerve damage, kidney disease, and other health problems if it's not controlled. Now, 1 in 11 Americans have diabetes. Now, that's more than 29 million people. And another 86 million adults in the U.S. are at high risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Joining us today is Dr. Carolyn Jasek, a board-certified clinical informatic physician, and she will give us some insight on the importance of correct diagnosis, treatment, and self-management of diabetes. Welcome, Dr. Jasek. Thanks so much for being here. Now, why is it so important to bring awareness to this disease?
Well, I think you very aptly mentioned that one of the most important things to know about diabetes is how prevalent it is. But I think the other thing that a lot of people don't know is how many people have diabetes and aren't aware of it, most especially type 2 diabetes. 28% of people of Americans that have diabetes don't know that they have the disease. So raising awareness this month is so important because testing is really key so that treatment can be started earlier. The other thing is type 2 diabetes in particular is preventable. So raising awareness about risk factors is also really important this month.
Well, let's talk about the testing because, you know, most of us, we know that we get just the basic comprehensive chemical panel where they look at our glucose level, which is the blood sugar. But I know that there's another one that a lot of doctors don't even do yet, and that's the hemoglobin A1C. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. So a glucose test, there's essentially three ways to diagnose diabetes. There's the glucose test that any doctor can send either as a fast in the morning or a random sample. There's the hemoglobin A1C, which is a test that measures your average sugar level over 3 months' time. And then there's a test where the lab can give you a sugar drink and then test your sugars after. The great thing about the hemoglobin A1C test is you don't have to be fasting, and often it can be done in the office. So it's a really, really great option for busy people that just want to get that information the same day, and also for clinicians that want to get started with the treatment.
Yeah, that's great. And then you mentioned about the risk factors, you know, how we can change our lifestyle, things that are actually pushing our body towards that diabetes. I mean, 28%, we don't even know. That's almost a third of us. We don't even know we're walking around with it. So what is it that we've got to look out for?
So the key things to look out for is the things that we all try so hard to do but just aren't that easy, which is diet and exercise. There's really no magic bullet. There's no magic solution. People need to eat a much more variable diet, as much quantity as they need, but not too much, and include exercise in their daily life. It doesn't have to be going to the gym and killing yourself, but just regular, everyday, staying healthy. That's the best way to prevent it and the best way to take care of yourself. And then the second thing would be if you do have symptoms that might be consistent with diabetes, asking your provider to do the testing and to work with you on looking into those symptoms.
Yeah, great. You know, I talk a lot about sarcopenia, which is age-related muscle loss. You know, as we get older, we lose our muscle, and that's just the plain fact because we don't digest our proteins as well. We don't make our proteins as well. We lose hormones. And when you don't have the muscle, then you can't shuttle that blood sugar into the muscle to be utilized. I really think that that's one of the factors that contribute to diabetes. What do you think?
Well, I think for sure that sugar is meant for the body to be used as quick energy. And if you're not doing that activity and you're not using that energy, your body will store that sugar, and it usually stores it as fat. It doesn't necessarily mean fat on your body, but it can be fat in your liver, fat around your heart. And so sugar is really meant for quick energy. So if you aren't doing activities and you don't have that muscle mass and you don't have that metabolism going, you're not going to use that quick energy. Second piece is a lot of people eat their food later in the day when they're not really metabolically active. So they're much more likely to store that energy versus mobilize it and use it. And that's how you end up with excess sugar in your system, which is what causes the complications of diabetes.
A good point. So we want to definitely eat more our nutrients and foods in the front end of our day so that we can use it for nutrition and energy. You know, you work a lot with adolescents, and especially high-risk teenagers. When you say high-risk, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm in a specialty where I work with teenagers that are either dealing with multiple chronic conditions or have family circumstances that have made it difficult for them to either take care of their emotional health or their physical health. And I also work with teenagers that have developed complicated multi-factor issues, such as eating disorders, obesity, chronic pain, things like that.
And do you find that with these young people today, we're actually seeing more diabetic diabetes diagnosis?
No question about it. So my practice goes up until about the age of 26. It takes a few years for the diagnosis of diabetes to be made because it takes a while for the body to become insensitive to sugar. As I mentioned, part of the risk factor for diabetes is having a lot of sugar around in the blood that's not being utilized. And over time, your body gets insensitive to that sugar processing through insulin. And it takes a little bit of time to see that. So we're mostly seeing the type 2 diabetes in later adolescence and young adulthood, but we absolutely are seeing more of it, and we're seeing even more pre-diabetes.
So, Dr. Jess, do you think eating a high-fat diet is good for diabetic?
I think that in America, we think a lot about what one specific dietary content could mean for our health, and we don't think enough about the holistic picture. So I really talk with people about having a varied diet, a little bit of everything is the way to go. So I don't really tend to emphasize focusing on one nutrient over another, but I talk to patients about you need to take in all the different nutrients that match your lifestyle. I really try to match what people are eating with the type of activity and the type of lifestyle they have.
And I'm glad to hear that because, you know, there's some doctors that work with basically having a very, very high fat diet. There's a diet called ketogenic diet that right now is like totally in, and I've had patients come in suffering from that because of the repercussions of too much fat. And fat, of course, can be inflammatory in our body. Not just help you. It can help with the diabetic situation. But I'm glad that you're saying that it's not one type of diet that's going to work for a diabetic. And then, when we talk about what do you think about what's going to be happening with diabetes? Because I remember Dr. Hyman saying, you know what, by 2020, which is four years from now, that half of us are literally going to be walking around with diabetes. Do you think that's going to be true?
I hope not, but it really is looking that way. And I think the most important thing with diabetes, other than prevention in the next 20 years, is going to be adherence to regimens, helping people make sure that they do what they're supposed to be doing every day. I'm really looking forward to technology in particular really helping out with that, helping people make sure that they do things that they do every day, like, for example, apps that help you track your medication, things like there are a bunch of apps and systems out there. Mango Health is one, and there's all different kinds of options to help people keep track.
So you're saying, I'm one of those, I love to keep track, so I have a little jawbone bracelet on my arm, you know? Mm-hmm. You're talking about those types of health readers for our body.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, giving diabetics tools to make sure that they're keeping track of doing the right thing and getting that information back to their team so that they can support them. For example, for you, how helpful would it be for your patients be able to come in and say, hey, here's my record of my medication adherence. This is how I've been taking my supplements and my meds that you've been recommending. It's a great way to start the conversation and reinforce.
Thanks so much, Dr. Jasek. MangoHealth.com to learn more about her. Thanks so much for being here. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.